Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Gent Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. And man, oh man, if you are a Jets fan and you are not jumping out of your skin with excitement, then you're not a Jets fan. We're coming to you live tonight on this Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and the New York Jets, ladies and gentlemen, are 2-0. In a game where I had a good feeling about the Jets coming up with a victory, I was shocked to see that ESPN, the analysts on there, who all usually hate the Jets, were confident that the Jets were going to come up with a victory. And in a game that you really have to say to yourself, this is a game that the Jets were not expected to win. This is a game where if you look back on this season and you say, okay, what games did the Jets win that they went to with the thought process of, you know, this is a game that we're going to have a lot of trouble with? This was one of them. The Jets went into this game, 7-point underdogs, the Colts coming off a bad loss, the Jets coming off of a win against the Browns, and, you know, let's be honest, last year, the Jets came off of a win against the Raiders, and everybody said, it's the Raiders, no reason to jump the gun. They played a bad football team. They got off with a win in a game they had to win at home against a bad team. What happened? They spiraled out of control from there. Fast forward to this year, and the New York Jets silenced critics early in this year with a huge statement win on Monday Night Football. How many Jet fans, when they looked at this schedule, said, okay, I can deal with 1-1. I can live with a 1-1 start. We have so much to talk about tonight in terms of positives. I mean, there are really everything about this Jet team right now is positive. And that's such a good sign for this organization. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the Jets, after having such a down year last year and such a horrible season, have started this year in the best way that they possibly could. They started the year with a huge win at home in a must-win game, and then in a 7-point underdog game on the road on Monday Night Football, they come up with a big win. You know, when you look at this team, you look at last year and the year before that, you know, not last year, but the year before that, you know, they were almost like a heart rate monitor. You win one, you lose one. You win one, you lose one. They couldn't string together two wins whatsoever. This year, they're already got 2-0. Think about this. The Jets' second win of the season last year came in mid-November. It's September 23rd, and the Jets already have their second win this year. Is it too early to jump the gun and start talking about the playoffs and division titles and everything? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that you can't be excited as a New York Jet fan. You have to be excited. After what we watched on Monday night as fans, there is no reason not to be excited. This defense might be the best defense I've ever seen for the Jets. Because I've never seen a defense not only shut down the offense of another team, but the turnovers. 10 turnovers through two games. 10 of them. Count it. 10. An unbelievable statistic. Not only are they punching teams in the mouth this early, but they're turning the ball over. I'll tell you what. This defense looks hungry. They look hungry for the football. Darrell Revis, boy, did you miss him? Remember when everybody in the offseason didn't want to throw the kitchen sink at him and offer him every single dollar that they had? You glad you did now? This defense looked hungry. That's the word that I have for this defense. They looked like a bunch of ball hawks out there getting after the quarterback and wait, possible, pending another suspension based off of the charges for his actions driving 140 miles an hour. What if this defense gets Sheldon Richardson back? I'll tell you what. Coming into this year, my expectations for the Jets were kind of in the middle. If your expectations haven't gone up at all, I don't know what you've been watching over the past 2 weeks. Monday night against Andrew Luck and the Colts, the first thing I want to take a look at is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay. I really, really am kind of in between here with what I saw from the Jets on offense. Because the Jets offense, for the first time that I've seen in a few years, looks like a real NFL offense led by an NFL quarterback. That's the first thing. I love the use of Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. I've never seen the Jets with a wide receiving core like they have right now with these two guys. Never seen it. Beast in Brandon Marshall. The Jets offense, to me, this game should have never been in the position that they were in. The New York Jets should have walked into the half with a 24-0 lead, without question. It should have never been 10-7 late in the fourth quarter like that. This game should never have been close. It wasn't a close game. The Jets beat them down. And as Jet fans, we all sat there and watched this game, and you know, we had a feeling in our stomach that, you know, it was almost like, well, here we go. The Colts are driving. Start off the third quarter. Start off the second half. We didn't capitalize on the turnovers we should have in the first half. And every Jet fan was practically sitting there saying to themselves, well, going to be it. This game's over. We're about to lose it. And then the defense, you know, they don't cause the turnover with Frank Gore fumbling the ball like that. He just fumbled the ball on his own. But that was just the type of night for the Colts. I mean, they just played a poor football game. They didn't take care of the football whatsoever. But overall, you know, the defense never really had the game in doubt. I think when the Colts moved that ball and they finally got that touchdown drive, the defense was exhausted. And they were on the field majority, if not the entire second half, holding the Colts to nothing, drive in and drive out, getting off the field only to come right back on. I did not like some of the play calling from Chan Gailey. That was really my only negative. I thought it's not really conservative. I just didn't like the screen passes, the wide receiver screens. I thought it was too, you know, I just didn't like it. I thought that Fitzpatrick to Decker in the slot was working well. I would tell you one thing. I was very surprised with the Jets' inability to run the football in this game. It took till probably the very end for them to break a couple runs out. Because the Colts went into this game saying, we're going to make Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brandon Marshall, and Eric Decker beat us. We have no corners. The Colts have depleted secondary. So they said to themselves going into this game, we need to stop the run. And we need to take the run game away from the Jets and make Fitzpatrick beat us. And he did. I think you would have saw the Jets open up the playbook a little more if it was 10-10 going into the half, or, you know, a closer football game. But the drive that tells you all you need to know about why the Jets are 2-0 right now, and the drive that should get you happy as a New York Jet fan, is the fact that the Colts get a touchdown, make it 10-7, and every single person wearing green and white on Monday night who had that sense of doubt, that sense of we're going to blow this game, that sense of same old Jets in the back of their mind. And don't tell me you weren't thinking that on Monday night, because if you're a real Jets fan, you were expecting the Jets to blow this game on Monday night because it's what you're accustomed to seeing. And Ryan Fitzpatrick in that offense took the ball in the biggest drive of that game and drove it right down their throats for a touchdown to put the game away. They said, count it, touchdown, ball game. When's the last time you've seen that for the Jets? When's the last time you've seen the Jets put away a football game by executing on offense like that? When's the last time you've seen the Jets' defense in a game where they've done... We're used to seeing that those type of performances, ladies and gentlemen. We're used to watching an offense skate through a game and a defense hold them and hold them and hold them and hold them, and finally the defense just gets to the point of exhaustion where you can't keep them anymore. That's what we saw on Monday night. The defense held them and held them and held them, and finally they cracked for a touchdown. Did you think the Jets were going to shut them out on Monday night? Did you go into this game thinking that they were going to shut out Andrew Luck and the Colts at home? Not a chance. So the defense held them and held them and held them. When they scored that touchdown, every Jet fan had a flashback to so many games that we've watched where the offense has struggled and the defense has kept them in there till late when they couldn't do it anymore. But this time was different. This time was different. Because this time we watched the New York Jet offense pick up their defense. I mean, that's something that I really, really took away from this game, saying this team might have something. And I don't mean might have something like a Super Bowl contender. I don't mean might have something like a 12-4, 13-3 team. I mean might have something with something cooking here. And when I say that, I mean these are the type of games, and I put this tweet up after the game on Monday night, not getting ahead of myself, not jumping the gun, but these are the type of games that playoff teams win. They are. Because if you're a playoff team and you want to be a playoff team, you're going to have to win games that you're not supposed to. That's how you get to 10 wins. You don't get to 10 wins by winning 10 games you're supposed to. You get to 10 wins by stealing games. Let's take a look at the Jets' schedule. The Eagles come into town on Sunday. The Eagles are struggling, man. You don't even know if DeMarco Murray's going to play now. Now you can say to yourself, we could get on a little bit of a run here. Eagles, Dolphins, bye, Redskins. You think you could beat the Eagles? Absolutely. The Jets are favored in this football game on Sunday. Who would have thought that? You think you can beat the Dolphins? Absolutely. You think you could beat the Redskins going into a fresh legs after a bye week? Absolutely. I mean, in all seriousness, if you look at this Jets schedule, and if they beat the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, they have a very good possibility at being 5-0 going into that Patriot game. The Colt game was the game that they were supposed to lose. They'll be favored against the Eagles on Sunday. They already are. The Dolphin game will be a pick 'em. It's in London. So anything could happen in that game. And then you're home against the Redskins. The Jets are going to be favored, if not in all three of these games, in two of the three. The Jets should be going in to this game against the Patriots on October 25th at Foxborough at 1 o'clock, at least, in my opinion, 4-1. I could see the London game being a slip-up for them. I don't see them losing this Sunday against Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia has too many offensive problems, and they're not a good enough defense to stop the Jets. If Andrew Luck and the Colts offense couldn't do it with a quarterback like Andrew Luck, Sam Bradford and the Eagles look lost last Sunday. And they're going up against a hornet's nest of a defense. I could see this team being 5-0. Now, this is the part in time where if you want to be considered a playoff team, you have to win these games. You don't lose Sunday to the Eagles at home. You don't lose to the Redskins at home. The Jets on their schedule, okay, have Eagles, Dolphins, Redskins, Patriots, Raiders, Jaguars, Bills, Texans, Dolphins, Giants, Titans, Cowboys, Patriots, Bills. Outside of going to the Patriots, what game are you concerned about for the Jets that you think that they don't have a chance in? A lot of people thought they didn't have a chance in Monday night. That was the game going into this season that I thought they didn't have a chance in. Think they could beat the Eagles on Sunday? Dolphins, Skins, Raiders, Jaguars, Bills, Texans, Titans, Giants, who are 0-2? If you're a Jet fan, you got to be excited. You have to be excited. It's not time to jump the gun. It's not time to start booking your tickets to San Francisco, but it's time to realize that the New York Jets have a real football team. I know we put up a question that if they are legit 2-0, I think the old saying with Bill Parcells is, you are what your record is. The New York Jets have earned their 2-0. Did you see what the Cleveland Browns did to the Tennessee Titans on Sunday? With Johnny Manziel starting the whole game? So maybe it just wasn't just the Browns on Sunday last week. If the Jets defense plays like they played against the Colts on Monday night, and the offense can move the ball when they did, the Jets have themselves a football team, ladies and gentlemen. Incredibly exciting stuff for the New York Jets. Call line is open, 646-716-4697. Taking your calls tonight, I mean, you got to be pumped up out there. If you want to talk Jets, you got to call in, 646-716-4697. Taking all your topics on the New York Jets. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this game, what I liked, what I didn't like, about a little bit of things that I wanted to critique the Jets on. And then, of course, we'll talk about the game on Sunday against Philadelphia. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Pack in the wind, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information, using the right media.
Media.
From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. good music to save their minds. Join with us at indieoutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to indieoutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. Indieoutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
Back up. Brandon Dowling Show. Another interesting note, Geno Smith has been cleared to play some football. Not that you will see any of Geno Smith after this 2-0 start. And this is what I said from the beginning. Ryan Fitzpatrick has an opportunity to start this season off and take this job that he has been given by I.K. Omampali. And he's done just that. Fitzpatrick has the Jets 2-0. And he's not going anywhere. Todd Bowles is not going to touch this quarterback situation. It's going to take a serious losing streak for Geno Smith or an injury, barring an injury, of course. And the Jets have had a lot of them this year. A lot of injuries. You know, the Decker, and I know they're minor, but it's still, you know, Decker, Cromartie, Malden, Revis coming up with a groin today, going to be perfectly fine. Ivory last week with a hamstring. Now they got a quad. I mean, it just seems like the Jets are showing up on injury reports left and right every week, which is common for football, but got to stay a little healthier. You know, one thing on Monday night that Fitzpatrick really frustrated me about was the one thing that I was, when I'm watching this game and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Brandon Marshall's a great wide receiver, but please, whatever you do, do not just throw the ball up in double or triple coverage when there's nothing there. I mean, Fitzpatrick was way too comfortable with forcing the ball up there, throwing a prayer up there, and hoping that Brandon Marshall would come down with it. That has to stop. I understand that Brandon Marshall is one of the best wide receivers that we've seen from the Jets in a long time, but I just didn't like the way Fitzpatrick was just throwing the ball up there. Other than that, you saw a Jets offense that was efficient that we've seen in a long time. We got a caller on the line here on Jet Nation Radio. You are live. Go ahead.
Hey, Brandon. How you doing? It's Glenn.
Oh, what's going on, Glenn? This is Glenn Naughton from JetNation.com. He's a reporter. Glenn, so thanks so much for joining me, by the way. You know, this start has to have, you know, yourself, myself, every Jet fan's excited right now. You know, the best possible way they could start a season, getting a win on Monday night against the Colts, which, you know, is one of those games, and I said it after the game on Monday night, when you win games like that that you're not expected to win, it just inches you closer into a group of teams that is going to compete to make the playoffs. And these are a type of, you know, even if it's so early, and I understand that, the you know, two games into the year, but coming into this season and coming into the expectations of the Jets, and a lot of Jet fans didn't have any based off the fact that Fitzpatrick was going to be the quarterback. You know, they had a new coach, new GM. They had revamped the secondary, and now they're 2-0. And if you look at this Jet schedule coming into this year, you know, at least from my point of view, I said to myself, well, the game that I'm looking at in the first four games that the Jets are going to lose is the Colt game on Monday night. Everybody looked at that game on their schedule and said, I could deal with 1-1. I'd be okay with 1-1. Beat the Browns. You know you're going to lose to the Colts. And see what happens against the Eagles. Now that the way things have shaked up and the way the Jets have looked and the way this and this is how I refer to them, the way this hungry defense has looked for the New York Jets, these next three games for the Jets, they're going to be the favorites in these football games.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that, you know, you're right in that you have to steal some of these games that nobody expects you to win. You know, expectations for the Jets this year were kind of all over the board. I know myself personally, it came up a few times and in terms of what fans were expecting to see this year. And, I kept saying that, look, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is – all we need him to do is be Ryan Fitzpatrick, which, as we've said a million times over, sadly enough, is far superior quarterback play than what we've had in years. And this defense on paper is far better than the one that took them to the AFC Championship games. I said a few times that you kind of have to be foolish to count the Jets out. You know, I understand the experts and the pundits, and they're going to disagree, but I honestly was shocked. You know, you look at a guy like Rich Gannon, who's, you know, an MVP quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl, and, you know, he predicts four wins for this team. And I heard that, and I just thought, I did some work for a site a few weeks ago that contacted Jet Nation and said, hey, we do some gambling stuff. We'd love you to comment on the over-under for the Jets' wins this season, which was 8. And I said, listen, the Jets play 6 teams this year that might not score double digits. They are a lock for 6 wins. You look at the Jacksonvilles and the Clevelands. Now, of course, you know, things are shaking out a little differently with Oakland, but there's enough bad teams on this roster that you should be able to pencil them in for 5-6 wins, and then you just steal a couple along the way. You know, you figure the worst case, they probably split with Miami. So, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself.
Here's the thing, though, Glenn. See, I would agree with you of the fact that you said worst case, they probably split with Miami. But the difference is when you usually split with a team, okay, when you usually split with a division team, 90% of the time you win your home games. It's usually you go to a division team, you lose on the – you know, how many times you've seen the Jets split with New England where they win their game at home against New England and they go to New England and they lose? You've seen it all the time with Miami, all the time with Buffalo. And that's why I look at these next three games. Miami, the game is in London, so nobody knows what's going to happen there. Nobody knows how the team is going to play. I mean, that could call for an absolute, you know, they could lay an egg in London like that based off of the travel time, the time difference. You have no idea. So it's almost like the home field for the Dolphins obviously is taken away because they're losing a home game because of this playing in London. But so they're not playing the Jets at home this year. They're playing them in London. But the reason why I have so much optimism right now is for two reasons. One, Andrew Luck and the Colts, whatever you want to say about them, okay, whatever anybody wants to say about them and how they are right now, coming into this season, they were, if not the number 2 or 3 pick for everybody to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC. And everybody scheduled them to come into this football game against the Jets, beat them down, especially after a loss against Buffalo. It was a 7-point spread, and the Jets looked like a football team. For the first time in a very long time since the Jets were winning football games and going to the playoffs, they looked like a football team. And what I mean by that is the defense looked like they knew what they were doing. The offense was moving the ball efficiently, although I didn't like the fact that they were sitting up 10-0 at halftime and they didn't take advantage of the turnovers that the defense got them in the first half. This game shouldn't even have been close on Monday night. It should have been 24-21 at least at the half. They should have coasted through the second half of this game. I'll tell you what. Talking about the Jets being a 6-8-win football team right now, in my opinion, is just not right for them. I mean, I honestly, the way I look at things, unless the Jets, come out and lay an egg, and, you know, they're not going to be overmatched by any team over the next three games, I honestly think the Jets have a good shot of going 5-0 here going into the Patriot game.
Yeah, exactly. I think that going into the season, you know, myself, we all sit down, look at the schedule, and, you know, I try not to be too much of a homer and look at things realistically. I penciled in the Colts game and the Eagles game as losses.
Agreed.
Now, as the Colts game approached, I was baffled as to why the Jets weren't a favorite because the Colts were so banged up, and the Jets are so
not
similar
on defense
to the Bills.
Not even a favorite, though, Glenn. Sorry to cut you off. Not even a favorite. 7-point underdogs, Glenn. Seven-point dogs on my. This was not a 2-3-point pick 'em game. They were 7-point dogs.
Yeah, again, it was one of those where it made so little sense that I felt like I was missing something because, and you know, I again, in a few discussions with folks, I said, look, to me, this is at the point now with as banged up as they are and as good as the Jets' defense is, in my mind, the Jets were the favorite. I thought if they don't win this game, it's very disappointing. There's nobody on that. You know, T.Y. Hilton played, but he's banged up. Andre Johnson is slow. You know, I spoke with Greg Doyle of IndyStar.com, interviewed him before the game and talked about what he saw in week one. And he said, listen, Andre Johnson, he looked slow. He said, we've seen this before. We had it with Reggie Wayne. It's not an injury. It's not something you come back from. He didn't look like he was anywhere near the player he was, which everyone knew he was going to be. There was going to be some drop-off. But here, you know, here's a reporter who's following the team, watching this guy day-to-day, saying he just does not look like he can play. So, you know, based off of that information, the Colts don't seem really high on the young guys just yet, especially Perryman. He's a burner. But, you know, when they asked Chuck Pagano in his press conference, you know, is Perryman ready to play, he just basically said, look, he has to be. So essentially, no, he's not, but we got to use him. So they were banged up. So all things taken into account, I kind of said I don't see how they can lose this game. But again, you know, maybe there's something I'm missing. Now you go into this Eagles game where the Philadelphia Eagles are a complete disaster right now. Like I said, you can't take anything for granted. You know, maybe they find a way to get their act together in a week and they come out and play well. But the numbers, DeMarco Murray through two games last year with the Dallas Cowboys had 285 yards rushing. Through two games with the Eagles, he has 11. He's got 33 carries this year. 19 of them were for 2 yards or less. And on their 16 first down run plays, the Eagles have a grand total of minus 1 yard rushing. I actually live not far from Philly. So the vibe right now, the stories that everything's going around is something Chip Kelly isn't willing to acknowledge because of his ego. But team defensive players on other teams are saying it. An offensive player on the Eagles said it this week. I heard Sal Palantonio say he spoke to an insider. Everybody's saying the same thing about the Eagles, and that is that they run so few run plays that before the ball is snapped, the defense knows what's coming. And the Dallas Cowboy players were screaming it out before the plays the other day. And if you go back and watch that game, and if not for a 12-yard run late in the game, DeMarco Murray was looking at – he had minus 9 yards late in the fourth quarter. And you go back and watch that game, and Dallas – he could 6 runs for negative yards. He couldn't get out of the backfield. And I'm looking at that and thinking, if there is any truth to this, this game has to be a blowout. The Eagles have lost, I think, 4 of their last 5 going back to last year. Chip Kelly's offense has been completely stymied. He let both of his guards go in the offseason, again, because of his ego, because one of them, he had an all-pro who wanted a pay raise, so he let him go, Evan Mathis, and he replaced both of his guards with journeymen, 2 fifth- or sixth-year guys who have never started before, and they, in their first two games, were getting absolutely blown up by the Dallas Cowboys and Atlanta Falcons. So if the Jets find a way to lose this game, it'll be one of the more shocking losses I've seen, because I watched that entire Dallas Eagles game this weekend, and it was painful. Both teams were atrocious. Philadelphia could not move the ball to save their lives. The only threat I see in this game to the Jets, the Eagles have a very, very active front seven, a very good front seven. Now, Michael Kendricks is banged up. He may not play. Kiko Alonso is also up in the air. But guys like Connor Barwin, they get after the quarterback, so they're very active. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, like most quarterbacks, can get rattled under pressure, might see a couple of turnovers. And then, of course, there's Darren Sproles on the other side who just punt the ball away from that guy. They can't score. They're going to be desperate. He's a guy who can make things happen with the ball on his hands. So if I'm the Jets, I don't punt the ball to Sproles. And Fitzpatrick, again, has to take care of the football. If they do that, I don't see any way they don't win this game running away.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the other thing, too. What wide receiver on Philadelphia scares you going up against Cromartie Revis in the screen?
None. And it's funny. I heard some analysis today that, you know, I understand it's local radio. They want to be optimistic. And, they basically concurred with that. They said, look, the Jets have the best cover corners in the NFL. We're going to have to come out and run the ball. And I'm thinking, great, go ahead and give it a shot. Because you've run for 11 yards in two games against the team that held Cleveland starters to 2.2 a carry, and then the other night against Frank Gore, I think he had 30-some yards on the opening drive, and then less than 30 yards the rest of the way. So, you know, this defense, it's not as if they have a weakness. You know, as much as I'm not a big fan I did see Stephen A. Smith, ESPN Stephen A. Smith, the other day, and I believe he was referring to when Sheldon Richardson comes back. But Stephen A. Smith said to me, he said, somebody explain to me when Sheldon Richardson comes back, somebody tell me how anyone plans on scoring on the Jets. How are you going to move the football on this team? And I agree 100%. And
the only way you're going to move the football on this team is, you know, by seeing exactly what the Colts, you know, what happened in the Colts game was, you know, the issue that the Jets can't get themselves into is you can't, any defense and any time you're going 100% on every play in any sport, okay, when it's one-sided, you can't have the defense out there as much as they were in the second half and not expect the other team to move the football. It's just not going to happen. These guys are big. They're moving guys in and out. The Jets looked exhausted against the Colts in the second half of this game when they led to the touchdown. So it's just a matter of the fact that, you know, the offense couldn't sustain any type of momentum throughout this game. And to be honest with you, the reason why everybody is so high right now on the Jets, you know, on the Jets offense as much as they can, is because of that drive where they put the game away. And that's the difference maker. Because, you know, Glenn, you've been watching a lot of Jets football like myself, and we were in the, you know, we've seen so many times, and it's like, it's almost like in your mind, you're watching this game and you're like, oh, I've seen this movie before with the Jets. I've seen the 10-0, 7-0 game. Defense dominates 7 minutes into the fourth quarter. Here comes the other team. They score. We go 3 and out. They come right back down the field. All of a sudden, it's 14-10, and we're trying to go down the field with 2 minutes and win a football game. But it wasn't the case in this game. And that's what really is giving me a lot of energy about this football team, because I don't remember the last time I've seen a game where the Jets went into a drive where everyone was like, you know, that building was rocking. The Colts fans were back into it. The offense, if that offense came back on the field, if the Jets went 3 and out on that drive after the Colts went up, you know, the Colts came back and made it within 3 points and it was 10-7, and the Jets had a 3 and out and Andrew Luck came back on the field, there's no doubt in my mind that they would have gotten points, if not taken the lead on the next drive. But what did the Jets do? They had the best drive of the game, and they put the football game away. The offense picked up the defense. I can't remember a game in which a defense dominated like they did, and the offense ended up picking them up at the end of the game to put it away. And that's what excites me so much, to the point where I can say, this team could be 3-4-5-0 going into the Patriot game, because I don't see the Eagles beating them on Sunday. I don't. Unless this offense for the Eagles just finds some type of rhythm and gets to the point, you know, where everybody expected them to be. And you know something? I think the problem with the Eagles as well is they came into the season with very high expectations. Very high expectations for the Eagles. I thought this game was going to be a loss for the Jets when I looked at their schedule as well, because everybody was buying into what Chip Kelly was selling. Guess what? First 2 weeks of the year, I'm not writing anybody off, but this team looks bad. They can't move the football on offense. Their quarterback doesn't look like they know what they're doing. I don't like the Eagles matchup against the Jets, especially against this defense. I think if the Jets score 14 points, it'd be enough in this game. I just don't see how they can move the ball on them.
I agree. And one other note on that. Again, living in this area and hearing the gripes about the team, about the Eagles' approach on a weekly basis. Something they did last year, and they're seeing it again this year, and it's really driving folks nuts. I would say start Brandon Marshall in your fantasy league this week. Their defensive coordinator, Billy Davis, for reasons unknown to anyone else but himself and Chip Kelly, unless he sees the light this week, he absolutely refuses to get his top corners safety help when they're struggling against dominant receivers. And you see it time and again in Philadelphia. There was a game last year where Dez Bryant was just going off. It was late in the game. He split out wide. He saw who he was matched up with. He literally looked at Tony Romo, and they gave each other a thumbs up. And he threw the ball. He threw a deep ball to Bryant for a touchdown. And Eagles fans are going nuts. It happened again the opening week when their big free agent acquisition, Byron Maxwell, was targeted 11 times, gave up 10 catches for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns, and they never gave him safety help. And they did it again this past week. So I don't know what his reasoning is, but you see it time and again with the Eagles. When the receiver is going off, the defensive coordinator doesn't do anything to help him out. So he's been getting beat a lot. He didn't get beat as bad in week two, but he did get beat again for a touchdown. He was the one on that, the long Brandon Whedon touchdown pass, where, I mean, to be honest, a lot of Eagles fans are saying he looked like he wasn't trying. I think the guy was just spent. You talked about the Jets defense being tired. The Eagles defense was on the field for 85 plays last week. Chip Kelly just run, and all those three and outs, and by the end of the game, that team, they had nothing left in the tank. Maxwell, the fans didn't like it, but Maxwell acknowledged it after the game. He said, look, we're human beings. We get tired. And when you're in Chip Kelly's defense, you are going to get tired. So you take a cornerback who is struggling against a receiver who is thriving, a coordinator who doesn't like giving help over the top, and a head coach that runs his defense into the ground, I know who one of my choices is in FanDuel this week.
Well, Glenn, I think that this week is going to be a lot of fun at MetLife Stadium. I definitely think that the Jets have the upper hand in this one, and it's amazing. You know, if we looked at this year before the season started, everybody looked at the Colts and Eagles games, and they said to themselves, okay, you better win the Browns game because you got two tough games coming up. Games don't look as tough as we thought they were going to be because the Jets look like a real football team. Thanks so much for coming on with us, man, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thank you, Brandon. Have a good night.
All right, take care. So that was Glenn Naughton from JetNation.com. I mean, there's a lot of optimism right now. If you're a Jet fan, you better be excited. Because this team is a legit 2-0. Hungry defense, efficient offense. I remember seeing a defense in and on an efficient offense. And they took the Jets to the AFC Championship game. Not saying that's this team. I'm not booking my tickets to the playoffs yet. But when you beat teams like the Colts on Monday Night Football like that, and you start your season the way the Jets have, these next three games are going to be telling you a lot about the New York Jets. Eagles, Dolphins, Redskins. Three games, you're thinking three W's. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to pick the games of the week. We'll go through all of our picks from last week. I did not have a good week last week. Thank God for the Jets. They bailed me right out of it. We come back, we'll have Jet Nation Radio picks of the week, including the Jets-Eagles on Sunday afternoon. Back after this.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, everything you ever wanted, one moment, did you capture it? Just let it slip.
Yo,
his palms are sweaty.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to StrategicPeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. StrategicPeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Anybody can be beat!
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Gem Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
Back here on the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio, and now coming on for what you know as Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week, my man Nick Lugrilli. Nick, 2-0, baby. You pumped up or what?
Yeah, I'm what you would call cautiously pumped up.
I'm
trying to stay mellow, but, you know, in my heart, I'm getting pumped.
That's good, because there's a lot of reason to be pumped up. There's not – this is not a smoke and mirrors 2-0 right now. There's a lot of optimism in the air, and I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited. So let's dive into it. Last week, I had a 1-4 week. You had a 4-1 week. That pulls me to 5-5, and you're a game ahead at 6-4. You know, don't enjoy being up there too long, by the way, because that's not – you know, this might be like a you know, one of those beginners type deal for you.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna find out.
All right, well, let's do it then. Let's start off here your Jet Nation Radio picks of the week, and as we will always do, the national game Thursday night, tomorrow night, the Giants start 0-2, could easily be 2-0, but guess what? There's no moral victories in the NFL. Two bad losses. A lot of people doubting the Giants' confidence right now. The Skins coming off a W. This division's wide open in the NFC East. Skins at Giants. Giants 3.5-point favorites. Who do you like?
I'm telling you right now, the Skins are going to be a blowout. I'm not sure which side, but I'm gonna go with the home field. I'm going to go with the Giants.
You're looking at my sheet again. I don't see how the Giants start this year 0-3. I mean, another home game. I mean, here's the thing. I could see the Giants losing this football game. I really could. I see their confidence shot. No Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. No Victor Cruz. It's Odell Beckham or bust for the Giants offense. Their defense is bad. I mean, their confidence is shot right now. But overall, I just think they're in a position where they have to win this game. It's Thursday night. You know, you don't want to – if they lose this game and start 0-3 and lose two games in amount of days, that, you know, it would just be such a horrible start for them, and you could see some changes being made there. So I'm going to pick the Giants. I'm going to take the points. I think the Giants get it done somehow, some way on Thursday night against the Skins at home. Cincinnati off to a good start. They're going into Baltimore, 2.5-point dogs. Who do you like in this game and why?
I mean, you got to go with the Ravens. The Cincinnati is a notoriously bad road team, although they won week one in Oakland. I just think John Harbaugh's too good of a coach. They have too many good players, and for the Ravens to be at 0-3, you got to go with the Ravens.
Wow. I mean, we are on the same page tonight. I don't see how Baltimore starts 0-3. I mean, the Raiders, you know, last week, fluke win against them. I don't think that they're as good as anybody is cracking them up to be. They win one game, and everybody in Oakland is getting ready to, you know, drive down to San Francisco and start tailgating for the Super Bowl. The Raiders are way ahead, you know, from, you know, any type of expectations. I think that Baltimore is too good to start 0-3 as well. Cincinnati is good. This will be a hard-nosed divisional matchup, but I think Baltimore will take this game as well. San Francisco going into Arizona in this big NFC West matchup. The Cardinals look good, man. I don't care what happened to Jay Cutler last week for the Bears. The Cardinals look like a good football team. San Francisco coming off a bad loss against, you know, Pittsburgh. Do they have a shot in this game on the road in a big NFC West battle?
No, I don't think so. And it's not even about the Cardinals, look good, I agree with you. It's more so about how San Francisco was exposed last week. And I think that they really served up a template for future teams to how to beat them. I just don't think San Fran's a very good football team. You know, they're young, still new coach, but I don't think they have a shot against the Cardinals, who look to be in the long haul. So I think you got to take the Cardinals at home.
I don't see how San Francisco wins this football game. I mean, I think Arizona's a good team. Their defense is on point. I think as long as Carson Palmer is healthy for the Cardinals, they have a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl this year. They're a good team. They have a good defense. Fitzgerald finally playing back to, you know, his nature and how we're used to seeing him play. I like the Cardinals at home as well. Next game. This is a tough one. I mean, we're staying the same for the first three. The Buffalo Bills, in a very disappointing defensive performance against the Patriots last week, go into a Dolphins team that had a disappointing performance against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bills at Dolphins. Fins are 3-point favorites. Who are you picking?
It's a tough. I think the Dolphins suck. I mean, I do not think the Dolphins are good, but I mean, nobody plays well in Miami when you're a divisional team going in there. But I gotta pick the Bills. I gotta think after a hard fought loss to doing them last week, they're not gonna lose to a bad team like the Dolphins. So I'm gonna take Rex from the Bills.
Well, I think in this football game overall, I mean, the Bills coming off the loss that they did, I definitely see your point, but I think also the Dolphins some type of boost in this football game to give them some type of life. You know, if they start the season off like this with a bare, you know, whatever you want to call a barely win against the Skins in the first game and then a loss to the Jaguars the next game, this is going to be a tough battle. I think early on in the season, the Dolphins, you know, against the Bills at home in a divisional matchup, you know, usually teams split their divisional matchups and the home teams are, you know, have the upper hand. I'm going to pick the Dolphins in 3-point spread against the Bills. I think that they'll win this football game somehow, some way in the later portions of this game. All right, Nick. And in honor of being 2-0, let's do it one more time. I went with the J-E-T-S, Jets against the Indianapolis Colts on Monday night. I went with them against the Browns. You did not. Both games. So, and I know how a Jet fan thinks, by the way. So don't think I don't know what you're thinking right now in the back of your head, Nick. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, well, I've picked against the Jets the last 2 weeks, and they've won both games. So how can I jinx them and pick them this week in my picks? Because if I pick them somehow, some way, they'll lose, and then I'll be regretting the fact that I picked them over the Eagles. Is that what you're thinking right now?
You don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm thinking.
Who do you like in this game? Jets, Eagles.
The Jets will be 3-0 because I'm picking the Eagles.
Ah, I knew it was going. I knew it.
I'm going to take the Eagles. In all seriousness, frankly, I really think this is a toss-up game. I really do. I agree with you 100% earlier. This is the game where you're going to find out the Jets are for real, I think. Not because the Eagles are so good, because we both know that they've had their struggles. It's because this is the kind of game that an 8-8, 9-7 team would lose. But if they're a real playoff contender, a real AFC contender, this is the kind of game they win. So I'm going to pick the Eagles, but I think we both know why I'm doing that.
You're picking the Eagles solely based off the fact that you're a Jet fan, you're superstitious, you sit in the same seat since you can remember watching football, you sit in that same seat every game for the New York Jets. You wear the same jersey when they win, you don't wear the jersey when they lose. You're a superstitious Jet fan, and I love it. And guess what? For the same reason that you're picking the Eagles, I'm going with the Jets in this football game. And I'm also going with the Jets in this football game because I really look at the matchups and I say to myself, where are the Jets? You know, when you go position by position, you look at the running game. Philadelphia's running game has been non-existent for the last 2 weeks. I'm going with the Jets. The passing game, Sam Bradford's looked lost over the first two games of this year, especially last week. He looked beyond lost to the point where I was calling for Mark Sanchez in that football game just to try and spark this offense with a new face. Defense, Jets have the best defense in football right now, in my opinion. I mean, that defense is hungry. 10 turnovers for the first 2 weeks. How can you say anything else? Especially against the performance against Luck. Wide receivers, Marshall and Decker. You probably will have Devin Smith back on Sunday. I just look at the matchups and I say to myself, this is a game the Jets should win. If the Jets lose this game, it's going to be because the Jets shot themselves in the foot. It'll be a turnover. It'll be a, you know, a misplay by the Jets. The Jets will not get beaten by the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. The Jets will get beaten by the New York Jets on Sunday if they lose this football game. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Todd Bowles has these guys playing good football right now. They have a lot of confidence. And you know one thing, too, Nick, that I think is very interesting? They don't think that they're a good 2-0. They are disappointed in their performances through the first 2 weeks, and they think that they are a lucky 2-0. And that just tells me that these players in this organization has a mindset that they are nowhere near where they need to be, and that's impressive to me. So I look at this game. I think the Jets win by a score of right around 24-31-10, and I think it's going to be an exciting game for a Jet fan on Sunday.
Oof, I hope so, man. That sounds good.
All right, Nick. Thank you so much, man. Let's find out how our picks do next week. That was Nick Lucarelli here on Jet Nation Radio. But also, wanted to give a big shout-out to the guys on Joe Vinny and the Jets, Joe Blewett and Vinny Latorca, you know, going out to Indianapolis and getting a W like that, hanging out with Fireman Ed as well. If you didn't see it, check out the pics on our Jet Nation Radio Twitter account as they were hanging out with Fireman Ed on Monday night. What a great road game to pick to go to. I mean, those guys went out there, dressed in their Jet gear, bringing home the W. Awesome job by Joe and Vinny. Shout-out goes to them for their performance as the Road Warrior fans on Monday night. And remember that the sports talk never stops here on Jet Nation Radio. It continues around the clock on JetNation.com. Blogs are exploding every single day. The forums with new users. You want to talk about the 2-0 Jets, jump on over to JetNation.com. Amazing things are happening there every single day. You want to look into ticket sales, fantasy football, whatever the case may be, all things New York Jets, JetNation.com. Jet fans, be excited. Another game coming up on Sunday. I got the Jets in this one. I think that they're going to take care of business against Philadelphia unless they decide to go out and prove everybody that they're still the New York Jets and shoot themselves in the foot somehow. I don't see it happening. I like the Jets against Philly on Sunday. I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their week. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.